and starting at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. If you remember last week, he'd been in the desert. Now he returns to this region called Galilee. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Let's just have a quick prayer as we look at this passage together. Father, we believe these are your words. This is a story that you have recorded for us. And we humbly ask that you would give us understanding, that you would show us what this has got to do with us today, sitting in this room, and that you would teach us good things through your words. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Question for you, particularly boys and girls, okay? So if I go to a house and I knock on the door and the door opens, what words do you think you'd like to hear? What words would you like to hear? Hello? Yeah, that's a good start.
Welcome.
Welcome. That's a phrase, isn't it? Welcome. Let me just put that word up on the screen. Welcome. Now, why do you want to hear that word? It's a bit of a silly question. Yeah, you're welcome in a minute. It's a word, isn't it, that captures so much. So if you knock on someone's door and they say, and they fling open their arms and say, "Welcome, come on in." It's a sign of friendship, isn't it? It's a sign that everything is good. It's a sign that you're allowed inside. It's a sign that there are no barriers to a relationship with that person. Welcome, come on in. Now I'm guessing that there are plenty of people around that if they knocked on your door, they might not receive a welcome. Is that true? Perhaps there's people that you know who've hurt you or who've wronged you. And if they knocked on your door, what would they get? What do you think they'd get? A door in the face. That's what they would get because you're not welcome. There is barriers to a relationship. There is a hindrance to a friendship in that circumstances. Recently, we've been delivering leaflets around the area to just let people know we're getting going, that we've started. And I saw plenty of signs on people's doors that said someone like me popping a leaflet through someone's door is not welcome.
Now, there were loads of signs that said, you are not welcome here. Cold coolers are not welcome. Do not come in. There was a barrier. There was no welcome. There was no throwing open of the arms and saying, oh, welcome. Come on in.
Did it have a price on it?
What, the ticket? Oh, no, no tickets. Which one? The door.
They usually have a price on it.
That's it.
It's usually a pizza.
That's true. Yeah, well, yeah. And in fairness, I was following the pizza guy down the road. And he was putting those in, and I was putting the clothes in. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I just gathered all the pizza menus up. I confess, I love pizza. Anyway, listen, we get this idea of a welcome, don't we? We get the idea that to be welcomed in is a acceptance. It is to be loved. It is to be greeted. It captures so much. Now, if I could put it like this today, and please just work with me, okay, because I know this isn't quite how it works. But if I could put it like this, if you today were to go and knock on God's door, what sort of a reception would you expect to receive?
You're dead.
Okay, so there's one reception. That's a bit more than a door in the face, isn't it? That's pretty serious. You're dead. Okay,
but Peter, isn't it?
Sometimes, yeah. So there's this idea.
He's a bouncer.
He is a bouncer. Well, that depends on where you're at, what you've been taught. But here's the deal, okay? When you knock on God's door, would you expect him to throw his arms open wide and say, welcome? Friend, come on in. Now, there are all sorts of reasons that some of us might think he should. There are a ton of reasons why we might think, I've not been that bad. I've given a bit of money to charity. I've helped out with some things. I've been pretty good. You know, I'm not as bad as him over there or her over there. And we might think, well, God should welcome me. Or perhaps some of us are sitting here this morning and we're thinking, actually, I'd never want to knock on God's door because there are a million reasons why he would never accept me. There are things in my past that if you knew about and God does know about, then there's no way he'd let me in.
And if you're up the creek then.
Yeah, dead, as you said. Okay, door in the face. What kind of reception would you expect to receive from God? Now, as we come to this part of Luke 4 today, this story that Jesus returns to Galilee and he goes into this synagogue, I want to show you this morning that this story about Jesus actually shows us that the very heart of what he came to do, the very heart of what he's about, the message of Jesus is one that he brings people who are unwelcomeable, unacceptable to God, to a place where God opens his arms to you and says, welcome. Whoever you are, whatever you've done. It shows us that at the heart of the life of Jesus, his coming from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from cross to resurrection to ascension, all of that is so that people like you and me could receive a welcome from God. And all I want to do this morning, hang on a second, Pete, all I want to do this morning is to work through this story and to show you very simply how that's true. And so the first thing I want to show you from this story this morning is this, that Jesus came to welcome sinners. Jesus came to welcome sinners.
Mary Magdalene.
Many of you will know the story of Cinderella. Remember the story of Cinderella? And at the story of Cinderella, what happens? Basically, it's the prince at the end ends up with a shoe. And he's looking for someone who will fit this shoe. Isn't that right? So he's looking for his princess. There's this shoe and he says, well, somebody fits it. And when I find the person who fits the shoe, I find the person that I'm looking for. Now, what's that got to do with this part of Luke? Well, here's what happens. I want to show you today that as Jesus goes into the synagogue and he reads out this bit of the Bible, actually what he's doing is he's holding up a shoe. He's saying, look, here is a shoe. He describes it. It's a person. And he's saying, I'm looking for someone who fits this shoe. That's what we're looking for. So have a look with me at verse 18 and 19. Jesus arrives in his hometown. He goes into a synagogue and he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus holds up a shoe. These were words written hundreds of years before. And it's a promise. If you look at it carefully, it's the promise of a person. It's a person who is
Look at the words carefully. Verse 18, that the Spirit of the Lord is on. God-equipped person. And it's a person who is going to come and come to desperately in need people. So just look at the language of the words. It says to the poor, to prisoners, to the oppressed, to the blind. This person, this mystery person written about, is going to come full of the Spirit to a desperately in need people. And they are going to do what? Look carefully at the words. They are going to proclaim good news. And in particular, look at how those words end. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now that's a very loaded term in the Bible. But here, can I put it simply this morning? What it actually means in its original language is this. To proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome. That's what it means. So there is this person, Jesus stands in this synagogue, he unrolls this scroll, he reads these words and he reminds those people, there's this shoe. We're looking, we're waiting for this person who will come and who will be full of the Spirit, who will proclaim to poor, broken, blind prisoners that now is the time when God welcomes sinners. When God welcomes people who have not welcomed him. That's what Jesus stands up to do. And as he reads these words out and he holds up this Cinderella-type shoe, he then sits down. Look at the words carefully. Look at verse 20 and 21. He sits down, which is how they taught. So I'm busy wandering around up here. But in the synagogue, they would have sat down to teach. And you just get the mood of this, okay? So he stood up. He's got a bit of a reputation. And all eyes are now fixed on Jesus. And what does he say to them? He says, the shoe fits me. That's what he says. Look at verse 21. He began by saying them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that I am the person this passage is talking about. I am the one who has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome. That's what he's saying as he stands in this synagogue. Now, Luke wants you to see, if you look carefully, that all the hints are there. He wants you to see that this is true. So just look at verse 14. We're going to show you some stuff in the Bible, because that's all I've got to say to you is what's here. It's not my idea. Look at verse 14. What is the first thing we're told about Jesus? Have a look there. What is the first thing we're told about him? Yeah. In the what? In the power of the Spirit. You see that? Now, what is the very first thing that Jesus reads out from the prophet Isaiah? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Hey, the shoe fits. Now, what else is this person going to be doing? Well, they're to go around proclaiming something. Now, what is Jesus doing in verse 15? He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. The shoe fits. Here is someone filled with the Spirit of God, Jesus, who's going around proclaiming a message that now is the time of God's welcome. That is what Jesus had come to do. Jesus was bringing to being these words. Do you know your politicians, they give their manifestos. We've kind of just had this, haven't we, in a general election. But they stand up and they give you a manifesto of the things they're going to do. Well, here you've got Jesus' manifesto. It's the very start of his 3 years of public ministry. And he's saying, this is what I have come to do, to make possible. Now, my question this morning, having explained that, is, well, what's that got to do with us? You know, we're sitting here in a room in Edmonton. Some of us are feeling unwell. Some of us have kind of only just woken up or whatever it might be. But what has this got to do with us? Why is it important to us to know that the shoe fits Jesus, that this is a description of him? Well, I want to tell you this morning that the people described in these words of Isaiah are us. We are the poor. We are the blind. We are the oppressed. We are the prisoners. Now, you might be thinking, really? I don't feel blind or poor or oppressed. But actually we are. The Bible says that because of the way that we have treated God, we are the ones who are in this poor position. We are the ones who, having rejected God, have experienced his rejection. We are the ones who are blind. We cannot see the truth about God. We cannot see the reality of who Jesus is. We are poor. We have nothing before God. We come empty-handed to God and say, I've got nothing to bring to you. We are oppressed by our own desires. You know, who hasn't experienced this week that feeling of thinking, oh, I really mustn't do that, and then you've done it? Because we're oppressed. And last week we saw that we're prisoners. We're bound. We have an enemy, the devil, who wars for our loyalty. And so these words of the poor and the blind and the oppressed, you may think, well, surely that's not me. But the Bible says it is. These words were written to a nation who had rejected God. And God had taken them from a place of being welcome, come on in, to being a place of what we call in the Bible exile. They were not welcome. Where once God threw his arms open because of their rejection of him, he now said, well, there's barriers. You can't come near. It's not just that they hurt God's feelings. It was that God, they had rejected the infinite and powerful and loving and eternal God. And that has consequences. Yes, Pete?
Can exile be reverted?
It can, and that's what we're seeing. So we're going to come to that in a minute. That's exactly what happens, you see. So here is a group of people, and they were in exile. They were the poor. They were the oppressed. They were the blind. And they've been shut out from God. And once where there was a welcome, there was a not welcome. But God promised them someone who would come, and who would turn things around. And he would take them from being not welcome to being welcome. You see why these words are good news? If you were in exile and someone said, look, I'm going to proclaim to you the year of the Lord's favour, a year of the Lord's welcome, that would be good news for you, wouldn't it? And what happened to that nation in many is what's happened to humanity as a whole. Because we have been exiled from God because of the way we've treated him. Our unfaithfulness to him, our disloyalty to him. Sure, these things are physical things, blindness and poverty, but they also represent our spiritual state. They represent how we come when we have chosen to live a life that has rejected God rather than been loyal to him, as we were thinking last week. And Jesus comes. Do you see this? Jesus comes to take exiled people, you and me, who are not welcome when we knock on God's door. And he comes and he says to us, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome to you. Now, why does that matter? Why should you be bothered whether you get a welcome from the Lord or not? Well, can I tell you that Jesus stops when he quotes this stuff. When he quotes from Isaiah, he stops halfway through a sentence. Do you want to know how the sentence finishes? Let me tell you. So let me read from verse 19. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. But then the rest of the sentence goes on and says, and to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. There is an urgency to being unwelcome by God. Because there is a day of God's vengeance coming for those who have rejected him. I can tell you more about that day if you want to know, but very simply it is this. There is a day coming when those who have rejected God will be rejected by God forever. And Jesus says that I've come now. He doesn't finish the sentence because he says now is the time when people like us who are exiled from God can now receive a welcome before this day of vengeance comes. He throws open his arms to us and he says, welcome, come on in. This is the welcome that Jesus has come to bring. And how does he do it? Well, here's the beautiful thing. Here's how he reverses exile. Because our Lord Jesus, the one who was most welcomed by God, in the previous chapter we've just read that this is my son whom I love, God would always throw his arms open to his son Jesus. But as you fast forward through the gospel, can I tell you what happened? As we fast forward to the cross, the Lord Jesus experienced the vengeance of God that we deserve for rejecting him so that we could receive the welcome that Jesus receives. He swapped places with us so that as we trust him, we get a welcome. That God can now throw open his arms to us. There's no more barriers because all of our rejection of God has been paid for and dealt with. Jesus came to make possible what is impossible for us to do. Jesus came to welcome sinners. And that's why it matters this morning. It matters for us to understand what Jesus is about. If we were to walk down the street and say, what's Jesus all about? Some people would have an idea. You know, they might say, oh, well, you know, he died on a cross, didn't he? And all that kind of stuff. But do people really get that what Jesus came to do is described for us in these words that he reads out? He has come to say to people like us, poor, blind, oppressed sinners, now is the year of the Lord's welcome. And the good news for us today is that that is still the year of the Lord's welcome. I know a year is 365 days, but it's symbolic. To say that the time from Jesus came, he didn't just come to proclaim it, he made it possible. And that time is still open. Now is the time of God's favour. But who receives that welcome? Well, here's where the story goes on to help us. Because the second thing is that this welcome comes. It's welcoming Jesus and he will welcome you. Who receives it? It's those who welcome Jesus. Or to put it another way, it's those who accept Jesus is the only way to be accepted by God. Think of an offer for a moment. So imagine that Sainsbury's put out an announcement today to say that for one day only, dairy milk is free. Okay, that's a happy day. Would that be a happy day for you? That would be a happy day for me. If dairy milk was free for a day, so you could go to Sainsbury's. But this guy comes in, he comes running into church and he says, hey, listen, I've got an announcement to make. Dairy milk is free. What an offer. Now, that's a good offer, isn't it? But what do I have to do? I can't just sit here and say, oh, that's a lovely offer. If I want to take the offer, if I want to receive the offer, what do I have to do? I have to welcome it. I have to accept it and I have to go to Sainsbury's and get it. Sitting here doing nothing won't get me the free dairy milk. And actually, here is the reality when it comes to Jesus. Jesus came into our world to proclaim the year of the Lord's welcome. He came to say, look, I know there's been barriers. I know that you have sinned against God and that there is a not welcome. But now there is a welcome available to you. But you have to get hold of it. And this story shows us that the way that you take hold of this welcome from God is by welcoming Jesus. You need to throw your arms open to him and say, welcome. Come on in. I need you. Now let me show you how I know that's true. Look at verse 24. So Jesus finishes in the synagogue. He finishes speaking. And then the crowds, well, they start to kind of grill him a little bit about, well, you know, aren't you just Joseph's son? But look at verse 24. What does he say? Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Now here's the thing I want you to see, okay? No prophet is accepted. Do you know what that word accepted means? It's exactly the same as we have in verse 19. So the Lord throws his welcome open to us, to those who will welcome Jesus. Do you see how that works? That's what he's saying here. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. No prophet is welcomed. Now, what is Jesus doing? Well, he's giving the crowds a warning. It's a warning to say that you've got to accept me if you want this welcome from God. So just look how the story goes on. Verse 25, he tells two stories about two prophets. And he says, verse 25, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Second story. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Jesus tells two stories to make his point. They're both stories about prophets. Now Jesus was likening himself to a prophet coming to make an announcement. Now in both of these stories, what happens? The prophets were not welcomed by the people that they came to. And so what happened? The people missed out. Do you see that? That's as simple as it. Yes, Pete?
everybody threw their arms out, the congregation would have been knocked out.
They might have done. Depends how violently you threw your arms out. But here's the deal, okay? So Jesus, the prophet, the one who'd come from God, Spirit-filled, the Son of God, comes to announce good news. But here's what happens. The people, would they welcome him or would they reject him? That's the question. And in these stories, these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, were rejected. And the people missed out. So it was the widow from Zarephath who got fed. And it was Naaman who got cleansed because they rejected the prophets. And my question, very simply for you from this story this morning, is will you welcome Jesus? Because it's only by welcoming Jesus that you will be welcomed by God. That's why he tells these stories. The teenagers use this phrase, FOMO, is that right? Is that what it's called? Something like that, which means FOMO. Yeah, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out or something like that. But isn't that the reality, all right? That there is this fear of missing out. Will you receive this welcome from God? When you meet God, will he throw his arms open to you and say, welcome, come on in, friends? And the answer that this story gives is he will only do that if you have been someone who welcomes Jesus. See, you've got a choice this morning about how you react to Jesus. Okay, you've got a choice because this story shows us that the crowds reacted one way. So look at verse 22. What do the crowds do? The crowds start to question him. Isn't this Joseph's son? They sort of start to get a bit suspicious, don't they? Jesus, isn't he just a bloke from Nazareth? Didn't he grow up here? Has he really got this ability to make us welcome by God?
Question.
Or hang on a second, or verse 23, he starts questioning the people. He puts the words in their mouth because he's sensing what they're going on. And he's saying, look, physician, heal yourself. He says, proof, give us proof. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I want proof. Proof that Jesus can do this. Maybe that's the way that you're reacting. And then you've got the crowds, verse 28. What do? They're furious. They're furious when Jesus says, look, if you reject me, then you won't get this welcome from God. And they drive him to the top of a hill. And they want to throw him off the cliff. But Jesus walks through the crowds. Actually, that's the reactions that people give, isn't it? And maybe we can identify with some of those reactions. But the right reaction is to accept, to welcome the prophet. To welcome the one who comes and says, this is the year of the Lord's welcome. Don't miss out. Welcome me. And so this morning, perhaps you've come and as yet you think, I'm not sure if I'm welcomed by God. I'm not sure if he'd welcome me in. Well, I want to tell you this morning that you can leave this building certain, absolutely certain that Jesus will welcome you. God will welcome you as you welcome Jesus. That is the certainty that Luke gives us. That is the certainty of the message we believe and we proclaim. For some of us this morning, we are trusting Jesus. We have welcomed Jesus. And this story points us to the fact that the way that people become welcomed by God now, the way that people will hear about Jesus is as we go around proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. Because that's still what we do. You see, you may have come here this morning and you're a Christian and you're trusting, but what is our job this week? Well, it is to go out and to proclaim, to herald, to announce that this is the year of the Lord's favour. This is the time when people can be welcomed by God as they welcome Jesus. And that is our job this week. And we do it with all the help of Jesus. You see, friends, Jesus was the one rejected by man. You see, look at the end of the story. They drive him to a top of a hill. This should be ringing some bells, okay? They drive him to the top of a hill in order to kill him. Now, where else do we see that? Well, we see that, don't we, at the cross? The people are furious with Jesus. They reject him. They drive him to the top of a hill. And what do they want to do? They want to kill him. And they do. But what happens at the end of this story is just a hint of what happens at the end of the bigger story. Because Jesus walks right through the crowd. And I think that's a picture, friends, of the certainty we can have. Jesus, they drove him to the top of a hill. They nailed him to a cross. They killed him. But what did he do 3 days later? He got up and he walked away. Because no one can stop Jesus. Because he is the one from the Lord to welcome sinners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So let's be certain today. Jesus came to welcome sinners. Fact, truth, the shoe fits. But welcoming Jesus is the only way to be welcomed by God. Welcome him and he will welcome you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus, the one who came to welcome sinners like us. Father, thank you that he proclaims to us the year of the Lord's favour. Thank you that he makes possible the year of the Lord's favour as he died and rose again for us. And Father, if we are here this morning and as yet we do not know that welcome, Father, please would you show us that to welcome Jesus is the right thing to do. To welcome Jesus is the way to that eternal welcome from you. And Father, if we're here this morning as those who have been welcomed, we deeply thank you. And we ask that you would help us to follow this pattern of Jesus, to be those who go out and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the year of your welcome to all who will welcome Jesus. Father, what a privilege to think that we live in a time where people can be put in a right friendship with you. Father, give us courage to speak it this week. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand.